Welcome to worship from Daleville Christian Church. We are glad that we can provide a portion of the worship in video and audio. You, of course, would be welcome in person. See our website for location and time, dalevillechristian.org is the website, dalevillechristian.org. We offer an affirmation of faith when we gather, different each week, always from God's Word, and this one from Titus, the letter of Titus, the second chapter. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The reading of God's Word for today is from another of the letters in the New Testament, sometimes referred to as the Epistles, an old name for the word letter. And this letter of John, and there are three numbered, this is 1 John, the first letter of John in the fourth chapter, the first six verses, where we read, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I begin today with a brief look at history, the history of the church. We look back to a time before the people of the church had learned to read. Most church members couldn't read, and that went on in the church for over 1,000 years. So before we learned to read, the church depended on its artists for visual communication of the Bible. Altar paintings, wood carvings, glass windows. That is, the stained glass windows. In some churches, everywhere you looked, there was the Bible in pictures. Even the ceiling, like in the Sistine Chapel in Italy. And since the Bible was in pictures in those churches, there had to be depictions of the devil or Satan. Now, if I ask each of you to show me a picture of evil or describe Satan, I am sure that we would get many different images. Some of you might think of someone from history like Adolf Hitler, or more recently, some of you might picture Osama bin Laden as the very picture of evil. Adolf Hitler's propaganda machine always attempted to depict Jewish people as evil. And many Germans fell in with the National Socialist Party line. National Socialist Party, shortened to Nazi Party, or simply Nazis. So in the past, a picture was the only way to depict the evil in the Bible. A person, a face, Satan, the devil. In a commentary I read in seminary by G.B. Caird, his commentary on Revelation. In Revelation 9:7, we read about a vision of locusts, but not just your everyday locusts. These locusts sting like scorpions, and more importantly, we read, their faces resembled human faces. G.B. Caird suggested this verse intends to tell us that the face of evil is not the devil, but the face of evil wears a human face. That is, evil is not your neighbor or your crazy cousin or the Jews or terrorists or whoever is your picture of evil or whatever you have been led to believe. Rather, the evil we often experience does come through other people. Other people who look like us. Human faces. Not just one person. It's locusts, swarms of people. Our world, our modern world, has been plagued with some people who deny that the Holocaust ever happened in Europe during World War II. I'm not sure what motivates such people, but their denial has provided reasons to demonstrate details about the Holocaust. For example, we have receipts and orders from the German government to chemical companies for the Zyklon gas. And the gas was shipped to concentration camps, which were built by legitimate German construction companies with the orders, including the size and dimensions of the crematoriums. The Germans were not just killing Jewish people, they were killing Polish people, they were killing Russians, they killed disabled people, they killed disabled Germans first. They killed clergymen, both Roman Catholic and Protestants, whether you were German or not. You can now read about the people who were employed at the camps, labor camps, death camps, or transient camps, or internment camps, where prisoners were on their way to somewhere else. But in every camp, the crimes always were perpetrated by people. Their faces resembled human faces. They had power to torment people. The verse in Revelation goes on to say, they had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name is Destroyer. An American author just over 100 years ago had a name for evil that was institutionalized. He called them the superpersonal forces of evil. Superpersonal, that is, the evil was bigger than any individual, but the evil was perpetrated through individuals. Slavery is a superpersonal force of evil, and some people have tried to minimize the evil of slavery by saying, well, not everyone owned slaves in America. And although slavery appeared in the Bible, which seemed to make slavery acceptable, we could have a whole sermon on it, but simply put, American slavery was way worse than any slavery in ancient times. For example, in the Roman Empire, a slave could buy his own freedom, and the former slave could further himself in the society. American slavery eventually did not allow the freeing of the slaves, even upon the death of the owner. And slavery in America was racially based. Ancient slavery was not racially based. But the point I wanted to make was that you didn't have to own slaves to participate in the evil of slavery. You could rent your slaves from your neighbor who owned them. You might not have to own slaves. You might just have to captain the ships that brought them to the American shores. You know the story of John Newton, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. He wrote the words, he was a slave ship captain, and learned that even he could be forgiven his sins through Jesus. In America, you could have just been a buyer and seller of slaves, never owning slaves yourself, just responsible for their sale. Or you were a newspaper editor who accepted money to advertise for runaway slaves and maybe a bounty to catch the slaves. But the larger point is this: you don't have to be directly involved in the evil to be a part of an evil system. Even our own laws allow for such a distinction. You can be charged as an accessory to robbery or murder, even if you didn't rob anyone or kill anyone. But you helped the person who did the crime. Aiding and abetting a criminal makes you a criminal. Evil also works like that. Evil wears a human face. The tough question is, what can be done if evil wants your face to participate? Well, that is a million-dollar question, isn't it? Who wants to be a millionaire? There were any number of ways during World War II to fight evil. The Caspar Ten Boom family decided they could fight evil by working to save Jewish people from the authorities. For 2 years, the family was successful in getting 800 Jewish people to safety. But the work to fight evil eventually cost several of the Ten Boom family their lives. A number of people who wanted to resist the evil Nazi takeovers of their countries and other occupied territories joined their underground forces, and it would be difficult for me to even suggest that that was not the right decision. In America, young men and women joined the armed forces to fight evil. Some Americans helped make the armaments or outfitted the equipment that would help defeat the German Nazi state. Now, you didn't have to be a Christian to help fight evil in World War II, but there are any number of those Christians who were motivated because of their Christian faith, like the Ten Boom family, as to what kept them going to risk their lives for other people when the Ten Booms themselves would have been safe from persecution. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We have to talk about Jesus first. Hear this quotation. When our days become dreary with low hovering clouds of despair, and when our nights become darker than a thousand midnights, let us remember that there is a creative force in this universe working to pull down the gigantic mountains of evil, a power that is able to make a way out of no way and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. That quotation reminds me that Jesus said, John chapter 5, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Can it also be said that my Father is loving to this very day, and I too am loving? But the quote that I gave to you is from the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In leading the fight for equality in this country 60 years ago, Reverend King knew quite a bit about gigantic mountains of evil. But Reverend King testified that even gigantic mountains of evil would give way. Those mountains could be moved through faith in Jesus. The late, great John McCain, to me an American hero, who served our country and survived torture in a prisoner of war camp, he wrote the foreword to another hero's book. The other hero's book is entitled The Devil at My Heels by Louis Zamperini. You might recognize the name. I mentioned Louis Zamperini to you before and referred to his book or books and the film about him, Unbroken. Louis Zamperini was an Olympic champion who later served in the Air Force in World War II. He was lost at sea, only to be recovered by the Japanese, who tortured him for 2 years. John McCain states that Zamperini learned the same lesson that John McCain learned, that faith in yourself isn't enough to survive. Zamperini says you have to have faith in God. Zamperini confessed Jesus Christ as Lord at a Billy Graham evangelistic meeting, but Zamperini prayed while he was lost at sea. John McCain wrote, "Faith in yourself isn't enough when faced with organized inhumanity on a greater scale than you have imagined possible. Faith in yourself alone is no match for the cruelty that humans can devise who have no qualms about anything." John McCain further wrote that Zamperini's life holds lessons for all of us, even those of us who live in comfort and with plenty in a time of relative peace. Remember what I told you about the exorcist, Father Lampert? Father Lampert says he is not special, that Jesus does it all. Father Lampert doesn't need to have faith in his abilities. Father Lampert only has to have faith in the power of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that Father Lampert just sits back and lets Jesus do everything. Father Lampert has to face the demons. Louis Zamperini faced the demons that followed him home from POW camp tortures. And Louis Zamperini lived to be 97 years of age. His faith in Jesus allowed Zamperini to forgive the prison guards. And Zamperini did that by going to Japan after the war to forgive them in person. When Zamperini was in Japan after the war, most of the guards he had faced were now in prison themselves for the war crimes they committed against humanity during the war. Zamperini states that we can't afford to get discouraged. He survived being lost at sea and POW camps. Martin Luther King Jr. knew what it was to have clouds of despair over you and mountains of evil in front of you. But Reverend King stated, just as Jesus said, "He is greater is in you than he who is in the world." 1 John 4:4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And the one who is in the world is the king of the abyss, the devil." So Jesus can help you fight evil, even when the evil is seen in the super personal forces of evil. But Jesus helps us in the person-to-person confrontations with evil. I'm sure I told you once before, I was a busboy at a high-end restaurant one summer. I received a portion of the tips the waitresses received. I knew I was not getting my correct cut of the tips. I asked my pastor there what I should do. He told me I should pray. I did. Before 2 weeks went by, every one of those waitresses was fired. I hadn't said a word about my situation to anyone but the pastor. But the waitresses' attitude to feather their own nests at my expense showed up in other areas by their behavior, and the owner of the restaurant saw that. While I was busy vacuuming the dining room for the evening dinner meals one night, the owner came out to me and said, "You are all alone." I had no idea what he was talking about. When I put the vacuum cleaner away, I noticed that everyone was gone but the bartender. He said that the owner had fired all the waitresses. That was not what I prayed, but my problem was solved. Dr. Robert Jeffries was a resource for a Bible study we did a few years ago. He has written a book entitled 10 Strategies for Surviving in a Hostile World. Pastor Jeffries writes, "What is true in survival training is equally true of followers of Jesus in an increasingly secular world." What book did I quote to you last week in the sermon? The Survivors Club. Pastor Jeffries has written, what is true in survival training is equally true of followers of Jesus in an increasingly secular world. Now, we're not going to try and cover all those today, but we can leave with one very important one. And here it is. Remember your training and trust it. Church has trained you, my friends. If you have not learned to seek the Lord, pray, and read your Bible when there's real trouble, then you have not been listening. What did Jesus do when confronted by Satan? Especially when Satan quoted Scripture to Jesus. Jesus quoted Scripture right back to the suggestion that Jesus bow down to Satan. And why would Satan suggest that? Well, it would ruin God's plan. But Satan promised Jesus that the whole world would follow Jesus if Jesus would worship Satan. And wasn't Jesus going to try and get followers? Yes, but Jesus quoted the first commandment back to Satan, love the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Him only shall you serve. I remind you what Professor Garrett states in her book about this cosmic battle between Jesus and Satan. We looked at Jesus' instructions to the disciples going on mission, and we also read about their return, Luke chapter 10. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Snakes and scorpions. There are those scorpions again. And the serpent. Jesus said, I have given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. So we read about the church in Luke's book of Acts, that the church is always shown winning over Satan's meddling and mischief to interfere with the mission of God in Christ. What did Father Lampert say? You have no need to fear the devil. Faithful Christians need not live in fear of the devil. Why? Because you have more power in your corner from Christ our Savior. Father Lampert states in his book, page 102, it's my hope that what I have shared in these pages will not increase one's fear of Satan, but rather help people come to a deeper understanding of the saving power of Jesus Christ who came to defeat the devil. A lived and authentic relationship with Jesus will always keep the devil at bay. In an interview, Father Lampert said plainly, if you're praying, Satan is already running away from you. Even if you and I have to deal with super personal forces of evil, there is a way to love the Lord, and him only will we serve. Next week, we will look at more personal problems of temptation. Until then, I leave you with Jesus' blessing. Jesus said in John chapter 14, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen.